looks like dog shit in a hotel room. Probably dog shit in a hotel room. It was turtle on turtle.
This is Jai Hitchcox, and you're listening to the Jai and Woody Show.
Welcome back to another episode of the Jai and Woody Show. Me and Woody have a certified certificate one in being pretty funny, but we're joined today by Anthony Gelling, who has a PhD in being a funny bastard. How you like that, mate? The funniest podcast on the planet. How are we, mate? How's things?
Yeah, good, man.
How long did it take you to get here? 3 hours?
Nah, see, has he been telling you traffic stories?
Yeah, mate.
I'm working in Yorkshire now. I've come straight from Yorkshire, no, so I'm...
Come the other way, sweet, man.
Oh, sweet.
Well, it would be, I set off a bit early, but nah, it's cruising.
Nah, too easy. Woody, how are we? How's grafting today? You've come dressed to impress.
I've been in the office today, but...
Yeah. The shoes, too. You see the shoes?
Yeah, I've got the brogues on. The brogues, mate.
Pen pushing.
Yeah, well, feeling good. I'm on the keto. I'm 3 weeks into the keto diet now, so
I thought that
trying
was
to lose
all
a bit of weight.
I thought that was all a all bullshit. Is that real thing? Is it?
Yeah. I feel good on it. I'm just cut out sugar, and I feel buzzing.
We'll have to get a before and after picture going.
Nah,
kid
that
off,
ain't happening. I weighed myself. I was 17 stone the other day in the gym, and I was.
We're kilograms,
about 106 kilo. Oh, it's just too heavy for me. So far, I've got to do something here.
What did you play in your play?
About 103, 104, but to be honest, that...
You were getting thrown around like you were 85.
Nah. Strongest man in rugby league, mate.
Right, we'll dive right into the deep end. Where did it all begin for the girls?
Where did it all begin, rugby league-wise?
Well, where you born, where you from? Where's home?
I was born in Auckland.
Yep.
So like South Auckland, East Auckland, place called GI. Born at home. Funny story, actually. The bed that I was created on.
Conceived?
I was conceived. My mum gave birth on that
born
bed.
Born on the same bed?
Born on the same
born
bed.
Born and conceived?
When I left home, about 17, I was sleeping on that bed still.
Wow.
Born and raised on the same bed.
Literally born home. And raised.
I came home for a holiday and the bed was gone, man. I was gutted.
Not even a new mattress on that bed.
Sheep protector. We had a couple of sheep protectors, surely.
Same everything.
Same everything, man.
Awesome. Oh, well, beautiful.
I wanted to make my first kid on that bed and complete the cycle, but it never got to happen.
Bringing it back. That would have been awesome. Right, when did you move to Australia?
17. So I left high school, I think, halfway through my final year. Went over for pre-season, I think, November, December. Yeah.
Oh, don't miss them Aussie pre-seasons.
Oh, no, that's brutal, man. Baptism of fire, just chucked in the deep end, eh?
Yeah.
It was hard. The hardest thing for me was, like, the social side of it, because I'm quite a shy person.
You don't seem like you're a shy person.
Oh, no. As I've gotten older, I've kind of, you know, you change and you get more confident and you kind of find yourself a bit. But at that time, like, I just dreaded, like, having to go into a changing room and sit there with guys I don't know. Like, it was, like, my worst nightmare.
Yeah.
So the first day, they said, be here at 4 p.m. We got like an induction meeting thing. I was like, all right, sweet. Got there half an hour early and I went and sat like at the park on the other side, like just waiting to time it. So I walk in right on force. I don't have to talk to anyone or do anything extra. And then, that's why I came late. Like even at Wigan, you know, I'd come late because I don't like sitting around small talking and stuff. I just want to come in and train and go.
We touched on that the other week about how times have changed when you're a young fella and you enter like your first NRL environment or you enter your first team environment. Just how much has changed now. You've got these young fellas just nipping at your ankles, talking constant shit and just they're playing the jokes. They're trash talking. They're doing everything. When I come through, I didn't say boo.
Nah, no way.
I wouldn't even. I was ringing wet, 72 kilos, right? But I was fucking lightning. Anyway, I'm coming through the gym, and I just skip protein because the big boys are in there. I don't want any part of that. You spill it, and then there's always that one older fella who's like, "What's up, then, young fella? How you going? Yeah, how you going? Any girls? Any girls?" And you're just like, "Oh, can't do it."
That's painful. Eh? Yeah. I remember I walked into the gym once, and I went to the physio because I had to see about my hammy or something. And it was all the first grade boys had just finished. So it was all like Bray Finasta, Mitch Pierce, like Willie Mason. I was just like, oh man.
Willie would have been into everyone as well.
They had this big glass window that goes from the gym to the physio room. Nate Miles, he's knocking on the window. He's got his nutsack pressed against the glass. And the physio, like, everyone's like, hey, have a look, like, he's over there, and trying to get the physio to turn around, and she wouldn't turn around.
Yeah.
And I was like, I didn't even want to turn around. I was too scared. Like, I didn't feel like I was ready to be part of their joke. So I was like, oh, don't laugh, man. Yeah. You haven't deserved the right yet.
No, it's like, brutal, isn't it?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't like small talk now. I'm exactly the same. I'm 37 years of age, and I still don't like it. But it's nothing worse going into your first pre-season training session not knowing anybody. It's like first day at school.
Yeah.
And but it's definitely there has been a, I don't know whether you call it a culture change or an attitude. There's been a shift, aren't there, with the young fellas now? And I remember when I signed for Fev and you walked into the gym and you tried to give me a bit of lip, so I'll give you a little slap in time.
Yeah, and I was 27.
You think that's just because the majority of squads are quite young now?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Is it a numbers thing? They've got the majority now?
I think what's happened is, this is my theory anyway, the scholarships now and the squads are so small with the senior players, they bring a lot of, like when I made the first team, I think 1999 when I first got in the first team squad.
Jesus.
Yeah,
You ride your horse to training?
Yeah. But I think at the time there was only me and two other lads. So them two other lads, we sat in one corner and all your senior players were over in the other corner. But now you see probably about 6, 7, 8 lads coming through into a first team environment. So they've got the confidence. It's strength in numbers.
Yeah,
and they're very cocky. And we'll not go into the stories what we've been telling about.
Brad Dwyer still wants his wing mirror. Right, so Roosters, what, 2 years, 20s?
Yeah, two years.
How was that? How'd you find it?
It was good, man. It was tough. Like, we had a really good squad, and just to get a game was like a real, I was buzzing.
Yeah.
So I got a few games that first year. Second year was going good. Got sacked in my second year.
Sacked?
Yeah, man, sacked.
Why? What
so
for?
So, see, this was big news when it happened.
I didn't know.
See, it's gone away now.
I've heard this story.
Have you?
I've not heard it from you, from the horse's mouth. So
oh, go on, let's hear it.
No, yeah, the story, it goes away with time, but I think it was the week before we'd made the top eight my second year. The week before the finals, we played our last round-robin game in Townsville. And as we're leaving the hotel, there's a few pranks going on, over the weekend, as you do. I try to get the last laugh. So as a team, we're packing up, we're leaving that day. That morning, after our team review and stuff, I've shit on a piece of paper and try to put it up in the air vent in one of the boys' rooms. And then, like, as I'm trying to get the screws off, I can't get it open, I hear the elevator pop up. It was me and about three other boys. Like, oh, shit, they're coming. So I'm like, oh, fuck. Got this piece of shit in my hand. I just, like, stashed it behind the TV, run into my room. Think nothing of it. I pack up, pack my room up, go downstairs for lunch. We're going to the airport. I forgot about it completely. Until we get to the airport and the coach goes, boys, something terrible has happened. And he goes, I just feel safe telling you knowing that it was no one in this room, but what happened is some crazy fan or some alcoholic, I don't know what's happened. He's come up in the room and he's shitting in Ethan's room over here. Isn't that right, Ethan? He's like, yeah, man, behind the TV, blah, blah. And I didn't think it was that... Like, I didn't think it was that terrible, so I just said, oh, Scotty, sorry, man, that was me. And he's like, oh, fuck. What do you mean it was you? I go, yeah, it was me. Sorry, man. He goes, oh, we'll sort it out when we get back. But by the time we get back, the neighbours... Oh, no, neighbour. The cleaners complained to whoever.
Yeah, as you would.
Yeah, and then they've complained, and then the papers have got hold of it. Fuck. And so now it's a fucking national fiasco, man. So fast forward half a week, I get the sack, walk down to the shop, been on the piss all night trying to drink my sorrows away. Walk down to the 7-Eleven in the morning, back page of the Sydney Morning Herald is me like this. Me and another guy that got sacked. He got sacked because he knew it was me and he didn't snitch on me. Two of us like that.
Legend.
Rooster's Disgrace number 2 is a headline.
Wow.
Yeah, man.
And what's the world come to when you can't throw a bit of shit about
your mates? You've got to be kind of in shit in some newspaper without getting sacked. But how mad is that, though, that it makes the back page of the Sydney Herald newspaper?
No, I still got the clip in at home. Like, I still,
you've got to have that hung up in your mum's house somewhere, that prettiest moment.
That was dark days at the time, but...
How did you deal with that after? Like, obviously, that's funny, but it wouldn't have been funny a few days after.
Nah, it was a weird one to deal with because like you can't ask someone for advice. Like, oh, what did you do when you shit in the hotel? Yeah. You know? Like, who's got advice for you? People were saying to me, oh, you know, you just got to, you know, learn your lesson and move on. I'm thinking, yeah, fuck, what's the lesson? Don't shit in the hotel. Like, yeah, fuck, it's not much of a lesson. Yeah. But at the time, I just wanted to go back home and I'll keep playing footy and crack on. The other guy that got sacked, he wanted to crack on at the Roosters. You know, he was a lot better player than me at the time. And
at the time,
they just never gave him a look in, man. Yeah. He ended up playing for Newtown for a couple of years and then throwing the game in, man.
Mm.
So
I'm a big believer in every, you know, when there's a consequence to be had, every cloud has a silver lining, and obviously that means that you then move to Wigan. And
that's it.
You know,
that's it. I think if
everything was meant to happen,
meant to happen, because if that never happened, I would have been another 20s kid who just come out the system with nowhere to go.
So many get spat out the back door, don't they?
When I went back to Auckland, there was a bit of attention on my name, like, oh, there's that guy that got sacked from the Roosters, and they say, oh, well, why don't you come play reserve grade for the Warriors, like, show us what you can do.
The Vulcans?
Yeah, the Vulcans. So from that, kind of, you know, it's weird how it works, but
yeah.
And it was Sean Wayne who fetched you over to Wigan. Tell us a little bit about how that come about.
That was just out the blue completely. So that year, the Warriors made the grand final, all three teams.
Yeah.
So first grade, reserve grade, 20s. And I'd played reserve grade that year. And the only reason, the coach at the time, Richie Blackmore, he lent me some money at the start of the year to buy a car so I could get to training. And at the end of the year, I still hadn't paid him back. So he said, all right, I'll bring you as 18th man. You get 1,500 matchy. You pay me back for what you owe me.
How good's that?
So I was like, all right, sweet. Like, at least I get to watch the grand final. Yeah. This is going to be awesome. So I go over there. With reserve grade, you can have as many as you want on the bench. Only four can play.
Yeah.
So I've gone through the warm-up and stuff. As soon as we've warmed up, I'm walking back up to the tunnel. And the game kicks off. I'm watching for, like, the first set. And our centre makes a break. And he goes down. He pulls his Achilles. Rolls into touch. I'm thinking, oh, fuck, who's on the bench? And I look at it. It's all middles. You know, it's like three props in a back row.
Mm.
I'm thinking, fuck, who's going to go on then? And I look over and they're calling me back. Put your boots on. This is the first minute of the game.
No,
so I ended
way.
Up playing 80 minutes of the grand final. It was awesome, man.
That's mental, isn't it?
And so from that game, then came the Wigan thing. It's just, I don't know, man.
Isn't it bizarre, the shit you
Someone's
get
Someone's looking
to.
Out for me.
Yeah, sometimes you do just think, oh, my fucking days are numbered, and everything can look grim, and then, you know, like I say, that one consequence can lead you to probably the best thing.
Yeah.
It must have been, I'm only guessing, and you can tell us, but it must have been the best part of your career, you know, signing for Wigan. I know I've heard
So far.
We know there's better things to come from you. You're still a young lad yet. But obviously, it's a massive cultural change.
Yeah.
I'm from Wigan. I know what Wigan's like as a cultural town.
Mm.
So how did you find it coming over from New Zealand and living in Australia, coming over to Wigan?
But blew me away, man. Just the whole, no one really prepared me for the full time thing. So even when I was 20s, I never really had a look at full time. I was working the whole time.
Yeah, it's morning and afternoons.
Yeah, mornings and afternoons, and you know, you're not in all the time. So my first thing at Wigan, we had a pre-season game against KR or something, and then I just didn't show up for recovery. I didn't know we'd done recovery the day after.
Yeah. People still
so
do
I just
that.
Didn't
that
show
old
up.
Chestnut.
Yeah, so I'm at home watching
just
TV.
Just walking out to walkabout bar, you mean, at like 5 o'clock, fuck training.
Yeah, Andy Coley knocks on my door, like, on my window, looking in like that, and I'm just sitting there watching TV like, what? He's like, fuck, you meant to be at training, man. I said, oh, shit, sorry. And then Wayne calls me. He goes, mate, you got training? Like, fuck, what are you doing? I said, oh, nah, sorry, man. I thought we had the day off. He goes, no, your day off's tomorrow. When he said your day off's tomorrow, he means we don't have field, but I still had weights and all that because I didn't play a full game, so I didn't know that. He says, your day off's tomorrow. I go, okay. So the next day, I didn't show up again either. Thinking, fuck, what is wrong with this
little,
kid, man?
Little three-day sitting holiday. Back.
Yeah.
Mate, isn't it weird? I remember leaving when I spent 3 years at Gold Coast Titans, and when I left there, I went to Melbourne Storm, and that was like, I was thinking, whoa, you know, this is my chance. Like, here we go. It's a big time. And I got down there and I moved in with Dane Chisholm. Obviously, Dane Chisholm's from where I'm from. And anyway, they put us all up in this a place called Swinburne University. So you've got a key card that gets you into the elevator, then it gets you into your house, and then only your card gets you into your room, right? Mm. So they're sort of split into four rooms, and it's like a dormitory style thing, like a fridge and stuff in your room and stuff like that, and you've got a small common area. Anyway, they put like, this was the first time they ran a reserve grade in Melbourne. They only did it 1 year, and then they canned it again, probably because of this. But anyway, they put about 15, 16 of us all in the same university, all on the top floor, filled with other uni students. It was just a recipe for disaster. There was a McDonald's downstairs to the right and a nightclub downstairs to the left, which I eventually got banned from. Well, I didn't actually. I got Dane Chisholm banned from because they reckoned it was me. Anyway, a bit of Yahoo. You know how young fellas are. We carry on a bit and there's, you know, remember Platinum? Tui's Platinum?
Yeah.
They were deadly, weren't they? Yeah. They were just a beer, about 8% beer. Anyway, so we had a night out and we're just doing whatever as young fellas do. And I just remember this young fella, young Tonomapia. Do you know what I'm talking about now? Yeah, he was coming up through the ranks and he's come into me room and he's got a fire extinguisher in his hand. And he's just gone, just filled me room with this crap. Anyway, I've gone, oh, I can't handle it. I've come back and there is like body-sized holes all around the apartment, right? And I've just gone, oh, fuck, we're in some serious shit here. I've said to Chizzo, I'm like, mate, we are in some serious shit. Next day, Chizzo's got up late and I've ducked off to the shops. I've gone off and got a picture magazine. It's like a, I wouldn't say nudie mag, it's a glamour mag, bikini mag. Anyway, I've got as many as I could and I've covered all these holes with like women. And I've moved out and anyway, I've signed at West Tigers and I've just gone, Chizzo, I'm bloody out of here. Anyway, Frank Panisi from Melbourne Storms called Chizzo up and said, mate, we've taken 2,500 off you out of your last year's contract because you've put all these fucking holes in the walls. And then that was the end of it. So, me and Chizzo are still mates, but geez, you do some shit when you're young.
Where abouts are you from?
So we're both from, I'm from Byron Bay.
Is it Mullumbimby?
Well, yeah. So I went to school in Mullumbimby.
Oh, yeah.
It's weird, hey, because they call Mullumbimby the biggest little town in Australia. So which means it's
what is it, New South or Queensland?
It's just down from Queensland, so New South Wales. Okay, just up from Byron Bay, about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So I think it has a population of 3,000 people or something.
There's only two surnames as well, isn't there? Two surnames and
3,000 people, right?
And, it's Chisholm.
And it's family trees of Hawk. Yeah,
I'm from Byron Bay.
And Hitchcock.
I don't know. That's I don't. Iggy Azalea from there, Mullumbimby.
Never right? Heard of
Dane Chisholm. I know that though. Jacob Miller.
Yeah, Jacob Miller.
Live with him in Sydney.
Kurt Mulcahy, who was I think the eighth fastest person in the world for his age at one stage.
Eighth fastest person? who brags about that? Well, he's the eighth fastest
his
person.
Age, how old is he? 12 or something?
No, 18. So he's raced like the proper big boys.
He's not the fastest, is he? So don't tell me.
We're talking from a school. And there's no sports high school, mate.
I'm not even going to go on about
if you type in Mullumbimby and scroll down to notable people, you can see the big dog.
Do you think he ever brags about that though? When I was 18, I was actually the eighth
like
fastest.
Whatever it is, world juniors.
Okay,
yeah, so eighth, I don't know, it's a pretty big achievement.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, anyway,
yeah,
Mullumbimby, what a place.
Who's famous in where you're from, girls? Who's the most famous person?
Most famous person. There's no real actors or anything in New Zealand. There's no real TV culture. Probably sporting people.
Once were Warriors.
Yeah, once were Warriors.
Sit down film if you ever get a chance.
Jonah Lomu, love it, mate. I've
he's
seen
probably
it.
The most famous.
Who's that, sorry?
Jonah Lomu.
Jonah Lomu, yeah. Mm. Yeah, Jonah Lomu. Love watching Jonah Lomu. See, I was about 11 or 12 years of age watching him in World Cup just handing off Rory Underwood on wing, just perming him off. And I think he was even to rugby league lads in. Watching Jonah Lomu was absolute legend. I reckon he got a lot of kids into the game.
Right, Jonah Lomu rugby was one of the best things that ever happened to me. The game.
Oh yeah.
How good was,
I was
that?
Glued to
when
that.
you just play against the Ivory Coast and you'd palm the whole team off 15 times.
The Ivory Coast.
The game's going for 15 extra minutes because you're just running through the whole
team. I'd do it the other way around, man. I got to the point where I'd try beat the All Blacks with Ivory Coast.
What was the team called? The Barbarians, and it Wilson, that little guy.
Yeah. Barbarians.
Nah, good times. Well, yeah, a lot of people don't know. Half my family is from Dunedin in New Zealand.
Oh, true.
Yeah, so I just get a lot of shit from the Kiwi boys and then a lot of shit from the Aussie boys. For
I better not a lot of people know that your... Is it your father who's Irish or your mother?
My mum's side.
Your mum's side's Irish and your dad's from Cook Islands.
Cook Islands, yeah.
Yeah. So good mixture though. What happened there?
They've all been settled. It's weird, New Zealand, no one's really been there a long time.
Mm.
So I think my mum's side's like third, fourth generation. My dad, I think he might have been the first to be born in New Zealand. Yeah.
So do you ever go over to Ireland? Have you got relatives over there?
I've been to Dublin, but only like on the piss.
Oh, yeah. How good's Dublin?
Yeah, it's class. Yeah. I didn't realise when I went, but it was a bank holiday for them. And Celtic were playing Barcelona in Dublin, and some boxing was on as well.
Oh,
so I went out for lunch on like a Friday, Saturday, and there was people like dancing in the streets, stopping the cars. I was thinking, fuck, how good stuff.
It's totally acceptable to be blind drunk at like 9:30 in the morning, isn't it?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Live music starts at 11:45.
It's almost rude not to be, eh?
Yeah, no, how good. Have you been to Cook Islands?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a tattoo in the Cook Islands, eh? Oh, we're back in the caravan.
That Polynesian.
By a guy named T. Yeah. Yeah, no, his niece's name's Storm, and she does it now.
Oh,
she's
yeah.
from New Zealand, but does it there. Where did I stay? Ruataki?
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I went to Aitutaki.
I've not been there yet.
No, yeah.
I've been to Kentucky.
What are they called? They call it the Blue... there's some name for it.
Never been there.
Beautiful, beautiful place.
Kentucky, that's nice.
Yeah, Kentucky bourbon.
Kentucky fried chicken.
Right, that'll wrap up segment one. We'll be right back after this.
As a parent, it's really important that kids have fun, stay fit, and meet new friends. Please come along to the Rugby M Elite Kids Camps this summer, and your child could have two action-packed days of fun, new friends, and rugby skills. Head over now and book your kids on elitekidscoaching.com.
Right, welcome back here. We're going to go straight into the Woody Wikipedia. Woody,
so, yeah,
take it away,
this
son.
Is Wikipedia. Anything could happen here. But 2012 to 2017, you played for the Wigan Warriors, 115 games, 52 tries, not bad. Then you over to 2018, where you played 7 games for the New Zealand Warriors and you scored 2 tries. And now you're at the Widnes Vikings, up the Vikings.
Is that where we do it?
Played 8, yeah. Scored 5. Oh. Which not a bad record.
Strike rate.
Obviously that's been bit of an injury hit season so far, but are you finding it down at the Vikings?
Oh, it's a weird, man.
How are the shins? How are the shins on that 3G pitch?
Ah, it's my groins.
Is it?
Yeah.
Fuck.
They said everyone gets at least one soft tissue injury.
Mate, Webbo don't. Groins, big man. Jake Webster don't even play there no more.
Mate,
I used to wear skins.
You just look like a bit of a soft guy, like. But I used to wear my skins when I played on it.
Yeah.
Just takes all your skin off.
Well, you're busted in that, so you can't be soft, can you?
And then that's toughest man in sport. Who's wearing skins? So
toughest.
Let's
if you're the toughest man in sport, who's the second toughest man in sport?
Oh,
I want to know like the caliber of people in this top four. Yeah.
Mate, toughest man in sport came from, right? It said it on an headline, so it's not self-proclaimed. So I'm stealing it, mate. It's on Google. Google it, and it says, is this the world's toughest man in sport? So
it mustn't have been too bad.
I'm obviously not the world's toughest man in sport.
Who is the world's toughest man in sport?
I don't know.
The toughest man in world sport is, what are we talking about, durability? There's so many things that come into it.
Yeah,
Brad Thorne.
Yeah, he's a tough man.
Playing first grade at like 45.
Boxers, UFC fighters, but I tell you who takes unbeaten. People who do an Ironman. How tough do you have to be to do an Ironman? You've got to train all them
mentally,
hours, and then you've got
tough.
To... Man, they are tough.
I could never do a Ironman. The cycling man.
Cyclist.
Brad Wiggins, he'd be up there for toughest
man.
Yeah.
Mm. They must have painful balls, though, just sat on their bikes all day.
Neil Armstrong, he's got one of them.
Neil Armstrong.
He lost 13 kilos.
He went to the moon, I think, Neil Armstrong. You know about Lance Armstrong?
Because he was sick of riding
Lance
that
Armstrong,
fucking
yeah.
Bike.
Yeah, he did.
Lance Armstrong.
He is good, that Neil. That Neil is good, though. Yeah, he went to the moon, didn't he?
Right, let's backtrack it. How did the move come from Wigan back to the NRL? And what was that like for you? Was always a personal accolade to play in the NRL? Like, that's what every young fella dreams about.
Yeah,
really,
for sure. So even when I went to Wigan, I signed a 2-year deal. And I thought, I'll go for 2 years, I'll come back and play for my home club. Like, that's always what I wanted to do.
You win a grand final, local grand final.
Yeah, that's it. And then it just never, yeah, it just never happened. I kept re-signing at Wigan and re-signing and re-signing. And then as I'm getting older, that dream's kind of slipping away of playing for the Warriors.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I always had a feeling it was going to happen. I don't know. You know, you might have a dream or a goal.
You're shitting a newspaper and you think, this is going to lead me to the Warriors.
I don't know. I just had a weird feeling it was going to happen. So I had like a little picture I used to hang in my house. And it's like a picture of the tunnel where you run out from inside.
Yeah.
And so you kind of just hold that in your head, like imagining it.
Mm.
And then this guy that he used to coach me when I was a junior, he started like a daycare thing. And then all of a sudden he's a multimillionaire. And he calls me one day, he goes, mate, listen, I've just bought the Warriors. How would you like to come home and play? I was going, fuck, how good's this? And I called my mum. I said, mum, fuck, I might be coming home. Like, you know, he's going to buy out my contract and all this shit. And then that fell through. And I thought, fuck, I was so sure it was going to happen.
Gutting.
But yeah, just ended up being, my missus was in a car crash during the off season in 2018. So I went home to check up on her. She was in hospital and that. I just didn't want to leave her the way she was. So
yeah.
I ended up staying, went for a trial at the Warriors, and yeah, that was it.
It was history.
Yeah, yeah.
What was it like? What was it like running out debut? Did you get the call, or did you know you were going to play?
Nah, not at all. So I trained that week. I think it was only the day before, because we played the Roosters, ironically.
Yeah, my debut was against the Roosters as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Shitting myself.
Nah, he just told me at training, said, I'm going to put you on the bench this week. And I was like, oh, all right. Like, why do you put a centre on the bench? But
take what you get.
Yeah, take what you get. And then when I came in for captain's run, all my family and stuff were there to present the jersey. So that was special. And then, yeah, I think I only got like 10 minutes or something. But fuck, it was awesome.
Better than nothing,
isn't it? Yeah, good feeling running out.
Yeah, I was meant to debut against Nene McDonald, who was making his debut. And I was like,
against the
Roosters.
Oh, was he at the Roosters then?
Yeah. And he was going to be making his debut. So I was like, it's all gravy. Like, debut on debut, no dramas. Don't worry about Maloney and Jennings on the inside, but that's all right. And then the coach comes to me and said, listen, Tupou's back, so it's the Origin edge. He's 18 centimetres taller than you. And I said, oh, fuck. Anyway, yeah, 8-0 at halftime. Not too bad. 40-8. They flogged us.
How'd you go, though?
There was a bit of a wet day at Leichhardt, you know, winger's dream.
Yeah, my granddad used to say that about me. We'd get beat 50-0 and he'd say, but Paul had a blinder.
Nah, he played well. He's a bloody good player. Right, and then back to the... am I doing that properly? Vikings! Back to the Vikings.
Yeah.
How'd that come about?
I don't know. I was just looking for a club to play for.
Yeah, because there was rumours circulating that you were coming Super League and then here, and then obviously with what happened in Widnes, which we'll get into in a second. What was it like going through everything that happened there? And explain to people that don't really know what actually happened, because it's no fault of the players, really, is it? Mm. It's a but yeah, I'll let
you know. It's like an admin thing, but even now, like, we don't know exactly what happened.
Yeah,
you know, even the people that were kind of left in charge to deal with it all after it happened, even they weren't too sure.
Did you get any? Was there any hints or anything that, like, you know? Well, obviously there's not, because you wouldn't sign somewhere if they're like, listen, we're financially struggling. But you know what I mean? But I think there should be. Like, I don't really agree with the fact that the players are always the ones to suffer for administration issues, which seems to be the running trend. But then when you look at it, how can you fine the organisation? Well, what other way around it? Because they've got no money. You can't fine them because they've got no money. They'll just go into administration and say, oh, we're bankrupt. They don't have to pay the fine anyway. So the really only way to hurt the people that are financially backing the club is to hurt the players, which is bullshit.
It's a bit of a tough one, because even when we kind of came back from administration, like, we didn't have a physio, we didn't have a lot of things, and the things that should be like minimal standards for having a club. But it's like, where do you draw the line? Do you say this is the criteria, if you don't fix it you can't play, or do you just let them play because if everyone just wants to watch rugby league and play rugby league? So
you've got a big fan base that are loyal and they've been there,
that's
you
what
know
I mean.
For decades,
and no one wants to see the club go down.
No,
but it's like, where do you draw the line and say, well you have to go down now?
Yeah, I think they could take a sort of a page out of the NRL book, where if you don't have enough money and you can't meet these minimal standards, then you can't play. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
South Sydney Rabbitohs couldn't meet the standards. They've won the most grand finals out of any team in the NRL history. Mm. They couldn't meet the standards, so they said, you're out. When they could meet the standards again, they're back in. Now they're thriving. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And no one's going to miss no one's going to miss you in that moment until you get back to that moment. Do you know what I mean? Mm. It's just there's too many clubs that I've only been here 5 years, but there's too many times I keep seeing people having to struggle and the players have to deal with the shit in the end of the long run. Mm. Like, and you start on, what did you get? Minus 12.
Yeah.
And like, for a moment there, I thought, you know, they could come back here. They could do this.
Yeah.
Which would be an absolute dream. Yeah. But then once you drop a few games, you realize that, you know, the five are only really losing against the five.
Yeah, exactly.
They're picking up wins at the bottom of the table, like, because teams are so far apart financially that you physically can't catch them. Even if you go on a win and win the next 9 games, it's just physically impossible to catch them.
Well, I think we had to win pretty much every game to have a shot. And over that Easter period, you know, we lost players during the Edmund thing, like key players.
Yeah.
And then over the Easter period, we lose players to injuries and we're bringing up like academy guys and guys that haven't played.
Yeah.
You know, and we lose to York, Batley and Dewsbury. And that's 6 points that, you know, we can't afford
to lose. Key points, you need every point you can get, can't you?
Before the season even started, though, did you think, it's not for me this, I'm gonna jump ship, or?
Nah, I don't know. Like, the conversations that I had with them was, it was just pretty much, we have our challenges, but we'll be sweet. Like, these people are going to sort it out. We'll be all good.
Mm.
I was thinking, sweet, this is going to be all right. 3 games in, get a text saying, sorry, guys, no one's been paid. Coming tomorrow for a meeting. And it's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. That must be hard, though, when you've come from a club like Wigan and then you've come from the Warriors and everything structurally is sound behind the scenes. And then you go to, you're basically going from one extreme to another. You must find that difficult.
Yeah, it was difficult, man. Like, I'd never looked at professional sport from that perspective or from that angle before, but you kind of see just how, I don't know, paper thin it is sometimes. Yeah. You know? Doesn't but take much to.
I don't think there's many sports clubs in rugby league at the minute that are in like solid positions, really. You know, like,
oh, you've got to be. People don't think you've got to be really mentally tough to just be bouncing between, I mean, competitions and different countries and stuff like that. It takes its toll on you.
Oh,
especially things,
man,
like not getting paid, which is like a minimalistic requirement.
Yeah.
It's not like we're on fucking millions.
Nah.
That's your livelihood, you know what I mean? You've got mouths to feed, like,
that's
get
it,
the
man.
Shit right. And then they want you to perform in 2 days' time.
Yeah.
You must play well because we're 12 points in the hole. Do you know what I mean?
Well, that's what happens. So my missus and kids were in New Zealand and I don't know whether I should tell them to come or not.
Yeah.
We're 3 months into like a visa application. Do I cancel that? Do I keep it going?
Yeah.
So do I fly home and come back? I don't know.
And they ain't cheap, them visa applications.
No,
Jesus.
Not at all.
I'm still.
And then in the meantime, like, train and, you know, bring a good attitude and play.
And you're
well.
A senior player, so you're expected to sort of bring a bit of a leadership role.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, it all plays its toll on you. It's just
It does look like you're enjoying your time, though, because obviously you're very vocal on your social media and you've done.
No, I've always, I don't like people complaining about the way rugby league is and not doing anything about it.
Yeah.
You know, I fucking hate that, man.
Mm. Yeah.
I hate when guys say, oh, they need to up the salary cap, we need to get paid more. I think, fuck, you just walked straight off the field and got in your car and you want to get paid more. Like, you play shit, you've not done anything to fucking lift this game. You don't lift anyone around you. And you just got your fucking hand out. That's what it is. Too many people got their fucking hand out, man.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Yeah, that you do see that a lot, like, where you sort of, players want to get paid more money, they want more exposure, they want rugby league to get bigger.
Yeah.
But then you ask them to do a promotion and they're like, nah, I'm busy this weekend.
Yeah, ask them to go down to school for a couple of hours and it's like, oh, fuck. Go there and sit on their phone.
Don't get me wrong, I do think rugby league players, considering what we do, we should be paid more. But
on the field, we need to work harder as a sport.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, 100%. But I think that's, it is our job to produce the quality. It is our job to produce bits of promotion, you know, be a role model. They're all our job. But there is a massive job that goes on behind the scenes that I don't think doesn't get done very well.
But the mentality of players just thinking, well, my job's done on the field, it's not. There's a lot to do off the field as well.
I think in the past you could have got away with it, but the way the game is now, you gotta do more than
I think social
well, look,
media social media plays a big part in this, because everybody's on it, and I think if we want our game to get bigger, you know, social media is the way to go, and what Gels does, you know, the exposure that he puts out there.
I think rugby league's been slow to the change.
Yeah.
You know, things have changed real quick with social media, and rugby league's still
Yeah,
I don't know.
Other sports get it, don't they? You know what I mean? Yeah. You look at basketball, American football. You know, other sports do get it, but
yeah.
We just, I don't know, we have this.
This brings me back to the point where I bring the other week, NFL, you know, baseball, football, the flariness of it. You know, LeBron dunks a ball and he flares up at the crowd. He layers up. If you do that in rugby league, you're considered a bit of a dick. Do you know what I mean? Unless you continue to do it and then someone says, oh, no, that's funny, that's cool. Do you know what I mean? But no one really does it. No one layers up. Like, you see an odd ball toss in the crowd, but, like, there's no dancing. There's no... You see when Odell Beckham carries on in the in-goal? Like, he is having a party and he's playing well and he's marketable, right? Ronaldo transfers to Juventus and signs 100 million worth of jerseys. In the first 7 days, he's made his transfer. It's the best business.
One of the players,
one does that in rugby.
One of the players I played with, Jai, he was one of the, I won't say one of the first, but going back 2005, 2006, 2007, Henry Fairfield, who's played for the Warriors, he scored a try, every try there was a celebration. You know what I mean? And the crowd loved it. But yeah, I know what you're saying. Sam Tompkins does it, and he gets loads of abuse. You know?
Oh yeah, he gets called a grub. Which I think he is a bit of a grub, but anyway. Like, remember Origin years ago? Remember the grenade?
Yeah.
That Fletch threw? That was classic. It's still played today, and it was awesome. It made you love footy. It made you sit there on the couch as a young fella.
Well, where does the stigma come from that you can't do that?
But it just, you seem, people just give you shit about it. Do you know what I mean? But like you, like yourself, you started making videos, but look where your videos are at now compared to, do you know what I mean?
I feel
like, and this brings me back to a point I was going to make before about clubs and the game doing more behind the scenes. I reckon you do better marketing for Widnes than most clubs do for themselves. And that's, I mean, from League One to Championship to Super League, this is excluding people like Warrington and stuff and like York.
Yeah, don't be dissing Warrington, mate.
No, but look, that's fact. Do you know what I mean? And it gets the retweets, and it gets the generator, and it gets the people that want to go to the game, and it gets bums on seats. But no one else is doing it. Like, there's not much of it in the game.
I think some people are scared to get shit.
Yeah, and express themselves.
Yeah, but it's, they don't realize it's not the end of the world. Like, I'll put out a video, like fucking the weekend. I put out a video. We get beat off Fev. Fuck, it's not the end of the world, man.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. And you get torched because you said like you're gonna win.
You weren't gonna win. You weren't gonna win every single game. Like,
exactly, man.
Lee Radford said it when Hull beat Warrington. They used it as motivation because Warrington put a lot of stuff on social media about dicking them last time at the KC. Now, if you're a professional athlete and you're using that as motivation, you've got to start asking questions.
Yeah,
you don't need that motivation, but you're always going to come unstuck at some point, no matter what you put on social media. It's either going to go for you or against you.
Yeah.
And people will always pull it apart. If you get beat, people will always say, well, they shouldn't be dicking around on social media. If you win, they'll be saying, how good was the build-up? How good was this? And it's just nonsense.
But that's the point. It's not just the players that say that. It's like the coaching staff and stuff. Oh, if I say something, I'm a bit of a joker, right? I have a muck around, I have a laugh.
You're not funny, though.
Last time I checked, I was pretty fucking funny. Anyway, you say something, you joke around, you're mucking around, and then I might have a bad game, and then I just get my legs blown off because I was mucking around.
Yeah, when you do it, we do think you're a dick.
Well, I don't have a bad game very often, because I don't get on the field. But I'm back this week.
Yeah.
Ooh, nice.
Against the Halifax Fax Machines, I am back.
That's stuck. Exactly. Everyone calls them the Halifax Fax Machines.
You know what?
Even Halifax are rebranding to the Halifax Fax Machines.
I only call them that because I actually don't know what their second name is.
It's just Halifax Rugby League.
Oh, is it?
They used to be called Halifax Blue Sox, and then they rebranded and they're just Halifax now.
Yeah. Is that bloke still around that called them Halifax Blue Sox with a real original comment about that? Yeah. Thought about that one for a while. Right, that concludes part two, where we'll be back with a juicy part three.
Have you got a future superstar at your amateur club? Get your videos in now to the Bachelor's Mushy Peas Amateur Try of the Week. Just upload your videos to the Rugby AM Facebook page. Each week, the winning try gets a Bachelor's Mushy Pea official ball, and they go into the competition for Try of the Season, where one lucky team will win the chance to train with a Super League team of their choice. Outstanding prize for outstanding talent, thanks to Bachelor's Mushy Peas.
Welcome back. Right, we'll talk a bit of footy. I guess we'll start with the bottom of the table because it's probably the most interesting part at the moment, where Leeds all but lifted themselves off the bottom of the table, only for Hull KR to come up clutch with a kick from the sideline against Warrington. Sorry, Woody. And London to absolutely double dick Catalans in the south of France.
My campaign for London Broncos to stay up. London have got to stay up this season. I'm campaigning for them.
What is it? Are they all locked in on?
Yeah, they're locked in on 12 points now, all of them. I think Leeds thought they sort of got rid of that, but no, it's back, baby.
Yeah.
And I think the London KR games, they both performed better than what Leeds did.
Do you know what? When I'm watching London, I watch London versus Catalans, and I get more excited cheering for London. I'm like a London fan this season. I just really want them to do well. I want Danny Ward to do well, an English up and coming coach, you know, with Jamie Langley, who's a Bradford lad.
Yeah,
I just really want
it,
them.
Was
to
it just like the underdog? You want to love the underdog.
It's the it is the underdog story, yeah. But I just really it's like the seeing Jamaican the English Bob guys do well, and you know, like I would never have expected Danny Ward to become, you know, he's a prop forward. You know, prop forwards do well as coaches, don't they? Brian McDermott, Paul Anderson, Danny Ward, they seem to do well.
Sean Wayne.
Yeah, you know, they do well. Everyone calls him. Not with that height. But they tend to do well. Everyone calls prop forwards thick, but they seem to have that something about them.
Scared shitless of them, that's it.
Well, yeah, that's true.
I think it is the underdog thing. I mean, in times gone by, the bottom of the table has been the bottom of the table, and they've sort of been thrashed, you know. But London beat all the top five sides. They're losing against the lower ranked teams.
I think it's got something to do with the structure as well now, because if you finish bottom, you're gone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's no playoff system like top eight. So I think that makes it a bit more exciting, that we know who's going down when, you know, you're bottom of the table and you can no longer get off it.
Yeah. Look, I've been getting a bit of stick online about hating on Leeds. But I'm not hating on Leeds. In my honest opinion, it would be really bad for the game if Leeds bowed out. I mean,
why is it bad for the game?
I just think it's such a big fan base, and what are you year-harling about?
No, I'm with Gels, because
I just think with such a big fan base,
yeah,
I think, and being Leeds, how such a passionate club that's spent years at the top with a dynasty. you know, years at the top, and they've just got such passionate fans. I can't see them jumping ship.
To the championship.
Well, ship to the championship.
Mate, things change and nothing lasts forever.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, if you don't move with the times, you get left behind. And something's happened at Leeds, and they've not moved forward. They've sort of rested on the levels a little bit.
Mm.
Don't know what's gone on behind the scenes, but ultimately, as a game, we're saying we want relegation and promotion. And whoever finishes bottom of that league goes down, unfortunately. It'll be a sad, sad day. If Leeds do get relegated, it'll be a sad, sad day. But I'm pretty confident that they will bounce back. I'm not so confident. Well,
let me rephrase it. I don't think it'd be bad for the game. I think it would be bad for Super League. As far as
Toronto
viewing figures, money coming through the gates,
you're looking at it from away fans. You're looking at it from purely from a point that
a business that's
if Warrington play Toronto, there may be 10,000 fans there instead of 14,000. You know what I mean? So purely on viewing figures, I don't buy into that. The game has got to grow. We've got to, you know, bring promotion and relegation in, and the weak team, the worst team of the year, gets relegated.
Yeah.
It's worked in football for so many years, and big teams have been relegated, you know what I mean, and stayed down and then come back up. So you've just got to do what you got to do.
Are they a chance of going down?
Yeah, for sure. What? It's rugby league, man.
Who's going down for you? Who are we smashing in the championship next year?
I think KR, man.
You reckon?
Yeah.
What about the coach change, though? Tony Smith coming in, he seems to have one game, one result against
Warrington. No, two games, one win, and he lost his first one.
You always get a little boost.
Late, that one. You can't count the first one.
You always get a little boost with the new coach, eh?
Yeah.
New coach comes in, get a few results.
What are your thoughts about young Will Dagger going absolute ham on Tim Sheens?
What's happened?
He's come out in an interview straight away. It'll be his last interview for a while, so that much. He's come out in the interview and said, he just didn't have much energy, and like he's just hammered him. Wow. Talking about one of the most decorated coaches of all time.
Oh, I know. But that's his
four grand finals.
That's his perception. That's his perception. If he feels that way, I love it when I want to see more of honesty in sport. I want to see players get interviewed and be honest. And if that's how they feel, then say it. You know what I mean? It is what it is. He is a decorated coach. But
we're talking about a guy that's, you know, had 30 caps for Australia, over 400 NRL games, four grand finals, and he was sort of acting like he didn't know what he was doing. This is from a guy that's only played, you know, 15 Super League games.
Yeah,
it was just, you know, if it came from someone else, like a really high ranked senior player, it would have transitioned a lot smoother.
Yeah.
But the way it came out, it just sounded like. Ooh.
Just like that one, the kid who throws a stone as he's leaving, and eh? Like, oh, yeah, where'd that come from?
It was like that, exactly like that. Right, what else happened in the world of rugby league? Callum Watkins to the Gold Coast.
That's a big loss.
Can we talk about the Tony Club try? Did you see this?
Yeah.
Like the dudgy was right there. We need to get Thaler back on.
Man, that
didn't go upstairs, though, did it?
But the touchy was right there.
That's how it should be.
Well, we had Ben Thaler on the show the other week. We called for more on you.
I'm calling
you
for.
You called for
and
more
they,
on
and they've listened.
Decisions.
They yeah, have listened. They're not going to the video ref.
They've
watch.
Absolutely made a meal of it.
And do you know what?
There's nothing wrong with that, man.
You're talking about it. What if it was to win?
Fuck, who cares? He's picked up the ball and he's burnt him on the outside and he's scored in the corner.
He burnt Brett Ferris.
And you're going to talk about an inch. Oh, no, that. Fuck, get the microscope out. No.
It was turtle on turtle. And, mate, the thing that I was confused it didn't go upstairs was because when he landed, it looked like it was shot out of a cannon. The ball landed five rows deep. And he's, oh, yeah, he's try for me, mate.
See, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Nah, yeah.
If it looks like a try and smells like a try, it's a try. Yeah. If you pick up the ball and run through five people and fucking score, guess what? You just ran through five people. They don't deserve to not have that try against them.
If it looks like dog shit in a hotel room, probably dog shit in a hotel room.
We'll have to go upstairs for that one. Right?
then we'll go upstairs. Get to look at this.
They aren't going. They don't seem to be going to the screen as much, or do they?
No, maybe they.
And do you know what? I was at the Warrington game the other week. I was watching against Catalan, and they actually went to the video ref, and he'd made a decision within about 20 seconds. Yeah. That's something we criticised on this week. So
I
think people are listening to this show. You know. Mm.
You know,
I think they're definitely listening.
What else?
You know
anything
how
else
I know they're listening? Because Augie used to be a part of the show. So someone's definitely listening. Yeah, what else happened? Right, Callum Watkins. What's your thoughts on this whole situation? Because I think it's pretty shit.
It's shit, man. It's a kick in the guts for the boy. Is he current captain?
Yeah.
So this is
the story, allegedly, disclaimer, allegedly. He's had a back-ended contract, which he deserves. I mean, he's got two Challenge Cups, three Grand Finals, World Cup Challenge. You deserve a back-ended contract. Everyone deserves a back-ended contract. Anyway, so it ramps up pretty big, apparently. Leeds aren't willing to pay it, so he has to go. What's your thoughts? Obviously, there's going to have to have been some deal there. I don't think he's going to go for free. They would have had to give him something. But I just think it is a little bit shit that, as players, you put your body on the line every week. You do get massive injuries. An ACL is a career-ending injury. Some people never come back from an ACL, and when they do, they're never the same. Others can recover from it. But look, for me, it's pretty shit, especially for us. It's not like a guy that's played 20 and 30 games here over three seasons. You're talking about a player that's been an integral role in their attack, in their leadership, and is the club captain.
Yeah, I mean, I can speak as an ex-player and look back in hindsight and say, you know, it's a short career, and when things are going well, the clubs love you, but unfortunately when they're not, you know, they can turn quick, and unfortunately it's the people that you don't think will turn on you as well. You know, you think that they'll stay loyal to you and they won't. And not that I'm saying Warrington never stayed loyal to me, because they did. You know, Warrington were really good to me.
Yeah. There must have been a
I didn't really experience that side of it. What I'm saying Warrington were 100% loyal to me. What I'm saying is I've seen my experiences with players when they've, you know, performances have dropped, and all of a sudden it's there's a new flavour in town, you know, a new player in that position, and it's dropped, and it's the business that we're in. But unfortunately, you do feel sorry for those players. You know, I can think of a couple of lads coming to the end of their coming to retirement now, and I do feel a bit sorry for them, because I know that, you know, clubs ain't going to stay loyal to them, and I think you know, possibly players expect to get looked after when you finish, but ultimately it's just down to yourself. And I've always had that mentality that when I finish playing rugby, it's down to me to make sure I can pay my mortgage, feed my kids and do everything else. I've done courses, I've been to university, I put everything in place. But unfortunately, I know players just don't have the same mentality, and they think they'll get looked after, and I'll be all right, I'll get a job with him, and it's like...
Yeah, it just doesn't happen, man. I've always, like, my goal is that when I finish rugby, I want to feel excited to finish.
Yeah.
Like, I want to have enough stuff going on that I can say, you know what, can't wait to wrap rugby up and get on with this new stuff. And not look at it as, like, some kind of dreaded deadline, like, fuck.
I approached it exactly the same, and with the line of work I'm in now, I've got that buzz about sort of, I'm starting a new career, and you get that buzz like you had when you first start playing rugby. But and for me, there's things I do miss about rugby. Like, I stay over in Yorkshire twice a week. Every time I step into an hotel, it reminds me of playing big games for Warrington.
Yeah.
You know, and it reminds me of sharing a room with such a player, and I always have a lot of, like, euphoric recall of moments in rugby, because it's been a big part of my life, and some of that's hard to deal with when you finish. I don't care who you are. I know I speak to a lot of ex-players as well, and it's hard to deal with them.
Just the competitiveness, the hungriness.
Yeah, but like I say, I've got that through. I do have a bit of that with my work anyway, but it's a different vibe, it's a little thing. I think you'll be surprised when you finish playing what you actually miss about the game. You know what I mean?
Well, I only played 10 games a year, so I feel like this now. I'm feeling pretty hungry to get back into
Even, mate, stepping into an hospital, when I've been into an hospital, it automatically just sends me straight back to a moment in my rugby career, and I get overwhelmed by it. You know, I'm so grateful for everything I had in rugby. But it is hard to deal. There's stuff that's hard to deal with what comes back to you at times.
That's making me a bit nervous, that. Like, I really should fucking grow
up. I'll counsel you. Don't worry. You'll be all right.
Yeah. You've really thrown me. I fully forgot what I was going to say and talk about. Anyway, Callum Watkins. So he's off to the Gold Coast on a 2-year deal. There's not many British outside backs that have gone and made it. In fact, the last was probably Brian Kearney.
I knew you were going to say Brian Kearney, and I couldn't think of anyone else.
Yeah, there's not many backs who go over, is there?
There's not really many that's made it. And Brian Kearney only did a few seasons there, but he was pretty good. Forwards, the English boys they're sort of taking it by storm, aren't they?
Yeah,
Do you think John Bateman was going to kill it in the NRL as much as he has? I thought he was going to play. I did not think he was going to be.
I thought he was going to have a couple good games because he's that player. Yeah. But I thought his size might let him down in the middle.
Yeah, I did.
Fuck, he's killing it, man.
Mate, well, if he didn't fracture his eye socket, he's looking at top 5 Daly M's. I mean, he's still up there, but. If he didn't have them few weeks off, he came straight back into an absolute blinder as well.
Yeah, he's class, and obviously you've played with him, I've played against him, and I know how strong he is. He's like you say, his size probably where people were thinking,
that's why you don't think he's strong.
He's really, really strong.
I think it's his balance, man, because he's like you say, he's not
he's
big,
quite tall.
And
he's not
overly strong in the gym or anything.
Yeah.
I think it's just his balance and coordination.
He doesn't really look like he lifts much in the gym, does he?
Nah,
but he's just one of those wiry strong.
It's
one of the strongest players I've ever played against is James Robey. Yeah. I used to hate playing against James Robey, and when they was in, like we was defending our 10 meters, he was tough to stop. To
who's your most hated player to play against, as far as like they were good, like they were a handful.
Yeah, I think Robey's one of them. Yeah, Stu Fielding was strong. Stuart Fielding and his day, mate.
Oh yeah,
he was tough to wrestle in the tackle.
I hated playing. The first couple of years here when I moved to Cass, I hated playing Mahi Fanua. His body shape is just the worst.
One of the strongest dogs is
bad for me to tackle. But
Donald, is it Douglas who you played for Huddersfield? Is it Luke Douglas?
Luke Douglas.
Big guy. Not Luke Douglas. His name will come to me. Played for Huddersfield, big forward, really, really muscly.
Yeah,
Aussie guy. Played Origin.
Ronnie Coleman.
Ronnie Coleman. That's no. It was Lou Ferrigno. Lou Ferrigno.
You've got me here. Who are we talking about?
Aussie guy. He's played Origin. He was really, really muscly, strong.
Luke O'Donnell.
O'Donnell. O'Donnell. Yeah. Mate,
he can punch on as well.
Mate,
isn't he a bit of shit back home? Him.
Is it?
Yeah, he's punched the shit out of a few people. Do you see that?
It doesn't
story?
Surprise me though.
He
was an angry, aggressive player, like, and he run at me once and handed me off. And fuck it.
Police got called to his house or something. It was in the newspaper the other day, and he punched shit out of some people, and then I think he punched shit out of a cop. So disclaimer.
His brother's same kind of like,
yeah,
it's like wild. A mini her man. Yeah, just
actually, I'll tell you a little story about you might know this guy as well. So when I was at West Tigers, there was a prop forward there, and he was. You know when you sort of just get the feeling that they're a bit, ooh, yeah, you got to like sort of, you know, like a Lee Jewett? You know Lee Jewett?
Yeah, yeah.
Just like that, where they're like, ooh, yeah, you got to sort of keep your nerves, keep your wits about you when you're around him. Anyway.
Edgy.
Like you got to sort of keep an eye on them, like they're a stranger sitting next to you, but you know who they are. It's weird. Anyway. It got down to the time where they're the most dangerous Mad Monday. And do you know James Garvey?
Yeah.
All right. So we'd had a few drinks, and do you know Matt Grote? He came over here. He played for Doncaster. But anyway, he played a few seasons in the NRL. He's actually going pretty good. He's a big fella. And he just called him out. He's called Matt Grote out, and I've never seen a big fella shit himself so much, but the boys somehow G'd him up to come over and stitch me up and pretend that like we had a bit of beef. And I'm on day two, I'm half cut, and he's come over and he's sort of getting in my face, and I was like, what the fuck are you doing? Anyway, he's like out the front, and he just walked out, and I was like, oh, what the fuck's happened here? What have I said? What have I done? I've looked across, and the boys are just like, full on stitching me up. And he pokes his head back in, he's like, proper, I've never looked in a guy's eyes so and just gone, this is where it ends, this is it. Anyway, I've walked out the front, and like, this is the worst part, he had gone along with it for so long that I think he actually wanted to bash me. I pleaded with him, in this car park. I just said, listen, if I've done something to offend you, you just tell me right now and I'll sort it out. Bad man, that's about, yeah, I think that's the scariest it's been.
He's a super athlete, eh?
Yeah, but just ripped.
He's the only prop forward I know that can do backflips on the spot.
Yeah, ripped, good diet, but a switch that you need to be careful of.
Yeah.
Because he puts that back, everyone's dead. Everyone. But no. What else happened in the...
Wayne Bennett. What about Wayne Bennett?
Wayne Bennett, he's getting the GB role.
And he wants to bring Aussie players into the squad.
Well, what's your thought about it? Because me and him probably don't really give a shit.
Yeah,
I'm happy for him. If they're eligible,
just get the best
eligible.
Team together.
Yeah, but I'm a bit. I don't know. We keep saying that we want to bring English talent through, and there's not enough rugby league kids coming through. But what are they aspiring to come through too? Because
who's the eligibility? Blake Austin and Lachlan Coote.
They're the two names I've seen branded about, but I don't know.
Jackson Hastings.
Gels with his Irish ancestors.
Hey, I've been here long enough. I could get a British pass.
You going to play for Ireland?
Yeah, Callum Watkins is off. I'm here, mate.
Yeah,
let's
go.
Boom. Let's go. I don't know. What's your thought? Because obviously, if they were getting picked for Australia, their allegiance would be Australia. If it was New Zealand, they'd probably play for New Zealand. If it was Tonga, they'd probably play for Tonga. But they have that eligibility through ancestry lines.
I don't know. I think if you were to ask them, I don't think they'd be keen. Like, if they put their hand up for it?
Not a clue.
Just because they're eligible.
Do you not think it's becoming a bit like club rugby now, international rugby? Oh, well, we can select him just because of it. I don't agree with it. I just don't. I just think it takes that prestige that's away from representing your country.
What should it be? What qualifies you to play for that country?
That's
should
the other thing. These people might want to play for England, but and they've got what is legally required.
Yeah.
What should it be? Should it be where you went to high school?
What? So, what if you were born in Australia to two New Zealand parents, though? Like, because
I don't know.
My dad calls me Aussie dickhead all the time. Right? So, do you know what I mean? Where would you play?
Oh, I don't know.
It's a tough one. Do you follow your family heritage?
This, or?
Yeah, like I didn't go to the Cook Islands till after I'd played for the Cook Islands in the World Cup.
Yeah,
and I had no issues with that. Like, I was proud to play for them.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I'm not saying they won't be proud. Well, you would be proud. You
yeah, know, but I didn't feel funny heritage. About it. I didn't feel like, oh well, I'm not actually from the Cook Islands. I shouldn't
so
be.
So what?
Here.
But how much? So like, I don't know. I don't really believe in the whole. Oh, you're 1/6 and stuff.
Yeah.
If you're 1/5, whatever. And you've never been there, and you've lived on the other side of the world. You probably can't play for them because that's a bit shit.
For me, say for example, I had Irish grandparents, and they asked me to play for Ireland, and it was my grandparents. I would be proud to play for Ireland. But what my thing is that there probably should be a rule change. It should probably just go back to your parents or you're born in that country to play from. I think.
Or even just pick one and stick to it.
Yeah.
But then you pick
really young. Like, remember when you first got up in 20s, you get past a piece of paper and it says, where's your allegiance in New Zealand or Australia?
Yeah.
And like, I, being a young fella, I just went Australia, but I was never going to fucking play for Australia. Do you know what I mean? Mm. But let's say if I had something else, like an island or something, I might have got a crack there. Do you know what I mean?
Because the last thing you want to is to have all these players sitting on the sidelines when the World Cup's on.
And if you've got a chance to go to the World Cup.
Yeah.
I would never have the chance to go to World Cup for Australia or New Zealand, but I may have a crack at going on if I was. I might have to look up this heritage.
Do you know what, though?
Have a crack at England.
It takes me back to a player who I played with, Ben Harrison. Now, he played for Ireland in the 2008 World Cup, but...
I heard about this team. I heard that there was a group of them, English boys... Went to a church in Dublin or Belfast or something.
No, he
put their hand on the Bible and said, to the best of my knowledge, I'm of Irish descent. And that's how they picked half the team.
Bullshit.
But they played
for Ireland in 2008 World Cup. And then Ben Harrison played for England in 2010. And because he basically chose that because his bonuses were higher. And they wouldn't give him the bonuses in his Super League contract. Because if he played for Ireland, it wasn't really seen as a prestige thing to do, So I know Rhys Evans, when he was coming through the Warrington ranks, he was playing for Wales as a school kid, played for Wales internationally first team, and then decided to change to England because it was more pristine and obviously you get your bonuses. Mm. So it's, I don't know.
I think that's how you make the international game better, is you pay everyone the same.
I've got a bit of a confession. When I was 21, I got a call up from this
the Aboriginals.
I got a call up from this guy, and he said, "Listen, I need a winger." And he was like, "Can you come play?" And I was like, "Oh, where are we playing?" And it was for the Queensland Māori team, and I was like, "Well, I'm not Māori." And he's like, "Well, just say that you're." He gave me the spiel to say, right? And I was like, "Oh, I don't feel right doing this."
You'd have had to do the ACCA.
Yeah, so let me get to it. And I know a bit of the baseline ACCA, but not as deep as this shit. Anyway, so I got there to the training session, and there was this one other like reasonably white fella, and I beelined for him. He's the captain, and he spoke fluent Maori, so it was bloody embarrassing. And anyway. Did the big ceremony and stuff, and I was like, "Listen, man," I said to the coach, "Look, I've got one day to learn the haka. I don't really feel comfortable with this." He said, "Oh, we're sweet. You'll be sweet.
Stand at the back, you'll be all right."
Yeah, he said, "Otago Māori when you get up there." I was like, "Okay, sweet." Anyway, we do this big thing called the hongi, right, where you touch noses. Have you seen this? You've probably seen it before.
Yeah.
Anyway, this was about a 25-man deep line, okay, and it was like, I would feel shame for myself for doing it. But anyway, I was going through the line, right? And I got to this one guy, and I went in and he goes, "Oh, all good, cuz." And I just went, oh, the embarrassment, it was really bad. Anyway, I stood right at the back during the haka, and I was lucky there was not many cameras around, but we thumped them anyway.
What did you do? Just stick your tongue out.
I got a little double in the corner as well, and just got out of there and announced my retirement from.
Just poke your tongue out when you
see my integrity won't let me do that. That is just bad playing for the Maoris when you know full well that you haven't got anything in you.
I told him flat stick. I said, "Listen, this is how it is." He said, "Don't worry about it. Need a winger." This is the coach and the whole staff. So
that happens a lot. Same as me.
Heaps of fellas play for Aboriginal teams.
Yeah, I got called into the Auckland Māori team.
Yeah,
and the coach called me. Goes, "Are you Māori?" I said, "Nah." And he goes, "Oh, because I'm just going through my family tree and I just found you." I was like, "Oh, okay, so I'll see you on Thursday for training."
Yeah, it's a good experience, but an experience that I'll keep in the past, I think.
It is a farce, isn't it? All this international stuff now. People playing for different countries. And
I think there's got to be a quarter and above, or a half and above.
Mm.
Half, if at least one parent.
Mm.
You can't be saying me grandma's sister owned a dog that's from Belgium and start kicking it around with bloody De Bruyne.
I think until the international game gets stronger, just let anyone play for anyone until these other countries are lifted up, and then you say, "All right, everyone pick a lane now, no moving."
So if you got blonde hair and blue eyes, you can play for any Scandinavian country.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that Scandinavians are either absolutely gorgeous or fucking ugly as shit?
No, I haven't.
Go there.
Because beauty's on the inside and not the out.
Copenhagen. So you want to go?
Yeah, I'll try that.
I went there by myself. It was super, super weird.
Did you go to the
Christiania?
Yeah. I didn't know the name of it.
I knew you were going to say that.
The rule, there's a place in Copenhagen, and the one rule is, it's like a little, like,
it's a town. It's a town. It's governed by
the one rule
rules.
Is no running.
Yeah,
because that makes everyone paranoid.
Yeah, do you know what? So marijuana is legal in Christiania, right?
Yeah, but only in that bit, not in the rest.
Yeah, it's just really weird. So it's a place governed by their own laws, but they're not real legitimate laws. They're just very loosely looked upon, and the police and stuff don't really police it very well. But there's like it's a really strange town. Hey, like it's like a food festival cross. There's like women blacksmiths and stuff. Like,
yeah, that's weird,
there's like places with like gum boots with plants growing out of them, and like agricultural. It is really strange. Anyway, I went there a few years ago, and I was walking through this big hall, and I could smell weed. I could smell it in the air. And I walked up to this hall, and it said "Beware the Dragon" on this big hall. Anyway, I walked in and I said, "I'll see what it's all about." And by the time I got to the other side, I was so fucking high that I didn't know where to go. So I went over and sat on the grass and spoke to this Rastafarian dude. And he was like, "I really like your shirt, man." And I was like, "Oh, I bought it over there." Anyway, me and this Rastafarian dude walked off, and I went and got him this matching shirt. We went and got a hot dog together. He was actually a really good bloke. Yeah.
Christianity, I'm definitely going there. I'm sold.
It was really weird, eh? But a really cool part of town. It was almost like it was another country. Like once I got out of Christiania, the place was back on the beat. You know what I mean? On the streets, it was just the work commute, just chasing the cash.
Yeah, you're back on the tour bus.
Yeah, in there
that,
it was just people liked each other a bit more. It was
obviously
a weird
everyone
place.
Was high. It's all like street art and
everyone's
a bit. Got a bit of something.
I can't remember the quote. There was a quote that always stuck with me.
I'll never forget it.
I'll never forget this quote.
Maybe I'll remember it by the end of the show. Well, see you later, eh?
That's like when I speak to my mates, you say, he's one of my best friends. Oh, what's his name now? What's his name? We're dead good friends.
Best man at my wedding.
hang out with one of your best mates.
Tell us it off her. You don't want to say. He doesn't want to say it on her. You see, he doesn't want to give it away. This quote here.
Yeah, because it's.
Tell us off her.
Yeah, I'll have to let you know.
He's got it tattooed on his.
hold on a second. It's good times. Done much traveling?
Yeah, that's probably where all my money's gone.
Yeah, me too.
During the weekend.
Well, I'd like to say it has, but
there was there'd be sometimes when we had like the weekend off, and I'd have to hand in my passport because I know that I go somewhere and. Like, no, I loved it, man. Made the most, though.
Yeah,
what do you like to do, though, when you get away? What sort of trips are you in?
Nah, see, when I first started travelling, I'd just go everywhere and just get pissed everywhere I went. Yeah. But you do that and then...
Shit in hotels.
Nah, see, I learned that lesson as a young man, Woody.
If you learn it young, I figured you don't repeat yourself. History don't repeat itself twice.
No, and if that ever
does, then you've done bloody well. when I first got over here, is one of the reasons I came over here to travel.
Yeah.
I set a goal of 50 countries, right? And
what are you up to now?
Well, 32. Yeah, 32 countries. I came over here for money and women, and now I've got two kids, and I've got no money. So it's going well. Yeah.
It's nice to see that you've followed your plan through.
Yeah,
really.
I really...
Because a lot of lads
the best thing about me is when I set a goal, I really...
You've hit it.
Yeah, so...
I don't think I've travelled to 32 countries.
Mate, you haven't travelled bloody Wakefield.
I have, mate. I've been to Australia a few times, been to New Zealand a few times.
Yeah,
nice places. That makes me feel like I've travelled, though, because I've been to Australia and New Zealand.
Yeah, well, it's
anytime you go back to back home, feels like you've travelled, doesn't it? I mean, that is seriously one of the worst flights.
Oh man. I've done it three times this year.
Have you done it with kids yet?
Do you know what?
My kids were
I did it with my six-month-old kid, right?
Mm.
And you had a bassinet. So I got lucky enough that I had the bassinet for the babies. And mate, there was this lady beside me, and her kid must have been 2 years old. I don't know how they jagged a bassinet, but I'll fall asleep, obviously, as you do, and I wake up, and their kid's got my kid's bottle, sucked it to death, and she's bought no milk on the plane. I said, what am I, a fucking vending machine? It was madness.
Mate, I've been quite lucky when I go to Australia, because first time went business class, second time went economy. Absolutely killed me, because obviously you get spoiled with luxury the first time.
Yeah.
Third time I was going economy, but I needed a knee operation, so I got upgraded. I couldn't bend my leg, so twice business class, man. Australia, mate, it's absolutely
I think first time I went business class, because I'd been so many times already, I'd saved up all my air points, and I just wanted to keep saving them. But anyway, I got on a plane once, it was packed. We haven't even taken off yet. This Chinese guy falls asleep on me. And I thought, nah, fuck, I'm not having this. And I just get up and I'm like, nah, sick of this. Go get the air hostess. I'm like, upgrade me right now. She's like, oh, right this way, sir. And they move the red rope and everyone's like, ooh, look at this guy. I get to the top and I go, we just checked. It says you don't have enough air miles yet. I was like, oh. And this other lady comes up. She goes, oh, you'll be joining us for dinner. I said, oh, I don't know yet. And I said, oh, no, I can prove I got the air miles. And I just sat there long enough for them to go, oh, fuck it, just stay there.
I'm not moving. Turbulence. Yeah. I had fucking a shitload of Qantas points. And if you're inactive for more than 6 months, they just wipe them.
That's bullshit, man.
Yeah, and so I'm sitting here thinking, yes. Kids turns two, he's a full seat. So I'm like, don't worry, babe, I got this. 0 points. Zero.
I got on the plane and I was sat there and he had me game ready and my leg up and everything, and then about 2 minutes later Trent Waterhouse did the same. He used his air miles, looked at him and went, put on cocktail for starter, I see. That'll do. And all the lads are in economy and they're squashed up. It was a horrible trip for them, but can't beat that business class. So the other earth living it.
No.
I'd never be able to afford it now.
Oh no.
So it is. Right. I think that concludes part three and the show. It's a wrap. Massive thanks to Gels for coming on. Really
cheers,
appreciate
mate.
It.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
No dramas. Woody, I don't have a choice with you coming on.
Yeah.
Thanks anyway.
Thanks, mate. It's been a pleasure, as always.
Too easy. Till next week.
This is a Rugby AM production.